advise you to get off the streets as quickly as possible. It'll soon be a war up there.
And we are, as a people, opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths.
I know for a fact.
And to secret proceedings.
Weapons of mass destruction.
I have a dream.
I take the threat very seriously. A new world order.
Your government thanks you for your participation.
You are now listening to the world-famous Sofa King Podcast.
Please, read from sheets. I am Sofa King.
Sofa King.
Now repeat all very fast, please.
I am Sofa King.
Faster.
I am Sofa King.
No, not so fast. Loses meaning.
I am Sofa King.
You say funny things.
Stop messaging me if we know that comes from the Aqua Teen Hunger Force. Yes, we fucking know it comes. How do you think I got the sample?
I'm not going to request anyone to stop messaging me because I feel like it's going to bring the messages. Like,
maybe.
There's a couple of messages that I get are super repetitive, but I'm not saying it because it will beckon them.
Did you know there's a George W. Bush voice clip in the very beginning? Did you know that?
Did someone really message you that?
No.
Oh. You know that's George Bush? Yeah, I fucking know.
So, you know, your guys' show title is like a bad word, too. Like, it sounds like a bad word.
Sofa King?
It's funny you rang the bell because in my head, I was like, I should switch hands and fuck up my ritual of whiskey because I thought about it'd be funny if it was like, please reach from sheets, clank, drink, ding. Like, that was my next part of the thing. You did it perfectly, though.
You could move the bell, though.
Yeah, you can put the bell. No, no, you can hit the bell.
No.
Whatever you have in your one hand that you're going to hit the bell with, you can just set that down.
Okay, here's
the
I could use the glass. I could use the glass.
No. I've got it figured out. Put the bell on the ground between your feet. And right when you're done, just do a little pelvic thrust, let your danger fields drop all the way down to the ground.
Ding.
They'll ding the bell.
Yeah. And we have to put a mic down there, though.
That's a lot of force in a small area. I think that might like bruise the danger fields if it hits that metal.
You'll be good.
Yeah.
You'll be good.
And then when I super glue a tack to it, second show.
All right. Not doing that.
Ding. What the fuck?
Well,
somebody tacked my danger fields.
The minute I'm actually dropping my balls on a bell as part of the starting ritual.
We've
crossed the line.
We haven't crossed the line. We've just begun.
Yeah, we have only just begun.
Yeah. We've only just begun
to
live. Yeah,
that's all I could think was Happy Gilmore right when you said that.
White lace and promises.
You don't know what he's talking about?
I know that song.
A kiss for luck and we're on our way.
Chubbs, whatever his name is, with the wood hand.
You know what the fuck?
When he goes to heaven.
You're out of the podcast.
That?
You're out of the podcast.
When he goes to heaven and there's like.
And they tell him to think of his happy place and he thinks of Chubbs in heaven with his grandma in lingerie.
And he has both hands and he can play
piano. I don't think she's in lingerie, but yeah, he has a new
there's
hand.
A midget on a fake horse with gold raining from the sky or something.
Yeah.
You've never seen Happy Gilmore.
I think I saw it.
Oh, you're fucking disowned. You're no longer my black stepchild.
People get very offended that I don't know Adam Sandler movies.
Oh, you don't like Adam Sandler?
I don't not like it. I just never fell for him. I never like
have
that.
Have you seen for him?
I've seen his movies. Like I'll see. I've
Things
seen him once
weird.
A while back. I don't know.
Happy Gilmore is a classic. It is a classic.
I tried to fight him the other day thinking like, damn, all his his movies suck.
The new one's good.
No, that's that six. What's the
no,
one?
No, not that one.
Yeah, that was
no, the next one. Who's he with? David Spade.
Oh, yeah.
Where he fucking pulls him one-handed by the head out of the fucking pool.
Don't say any more. You're Mr. Spoiler. You're going to tell like something that's important.
They fake their death.
You motherfucker. Oh man, well,
what's that movie called?
I didn't spoil it really, I guess. I don't know.
I don't care if you haven't seen it already, you're fucking behind. So
that's true, you're behind the digital
no movie. He's a lot like Nicolas Cage. Like I go like, god, his movies suck, and I'm like, hey, except for that movie, that's pretty good. Like,
no, I did I really like Nicolas Cage for whatever reason. I don't even know why, but for whatever reason I like him. And I did watch a movie back in Castle Times where he's like this guy.
Oh,
oh, that
I tried movie, to watch that. I couldn't watch it.
That movie was bad.
I think that's, like, is that the one where he has the bees on his face and shit in the end?
I think so.
That's Wicker Man.
No, yeah, that is Wicker Man. No, this one, he's like a trainer and he's a drunk and like, but it is in Castle Times.
Yeah.
It's really bad.
It's because he can't play the part of something else. He's always
Nicolas Cage.
He's always Nicolas Cage.
Yeah.
His mind's always fried. He's always talking like fried.
That's a good thing.
I'm going to get French fries.
I'm going to take my face off.
Who's the old guy? Is it Johnny Carson? Like, who's
I can't do this right now. I have to mow my lawn. Like, I don't like my neighbor.
Always takes his doorknobs off.
He leaves the lights on at 2 a.m.
Builds a fucking gate.
Yours is more like Doc Brown.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of. Yeah.
I didn't even know I had a Nick Cage.
No, Marty! You have a good Nick Cage.
You got to go 88 miles an hour, Marty.
That's pretty good.
That was legit.
I have to do my hand like this.
I do my Michael J. Fox, but I just, you guys can't, you have to see it. It's more of a
visual effect.
Yeah, it's more of a visual.
Yeah, because you do convulsions, don't you?
No, I wasn't doing that. I was a face I was going to make. Yeah, it's a Back to the Future
dude,
face.
Teen Wolf.
What a dick.
Teen Wolf.
So I do have a couple of shout outs from some Instagrammies. Wanted to give a shout out to
that's what we can call them. You get a shout out.
Yeah, get an Instagram.
Yeah, but you get shout outs and Instagrammy.
So Mark Wiley from New Orleans, I want to give him a shout out for posting some cool pictures. Four String Thunder. He did a picture of him and his chillins with some Sofa King stickers. And then Kirby. I'm not sure.
I'm assuming there's no less than three E's on the end of that.
With some I's in there for posting some Yucateco stuff because he finally, or she, I think he found some Yucateco somewhere. I think he said he's in Texas and was having a hard time finding it and he was very happy.
There's a lot of people in Texas that find it. So
finally found some Yucateco and he was happy about it. Posted a picture at the store of all the flavors.
Texas is right next to
Mexis.
Yes.
Yep.
The state of Mexis.
You've never been there. It's a great state. Everything's bigger in Mexis.
That's right. We should just call them Mexis and Texaco.
Maybe. Oh, yeah. Mix them around.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
There is a place called like Calexico or something silly like that. It's like the
Calico.
It's right on the border of all
Calexico. Yeah.
Lady Boner Shit. I like this guy. I like his Instagram name. I think that's fucking funny. He's a funny guy.
I don't get it.
He it has to do with bean flicking. You wouldn't get it.
I don't know.
He actually went to, if anyone knows who Tom Segura is, I can't remember. He's on a podcast. He has a podcast called Your Mom's House. And he's on there with a woman, but I can never remember her name.
Who, Tom Segura?
Tom Segura has a podcast.
I've never even heard of him.
He's a comedian. He's a friend of Rogan. Like if you're a Rogan fan, you've heard of Tom Segura, but he actually went to a live, taping of their podcast, Your Mom's House. And he wore his Sofa King shirt and he only had like a couple seconds. You know, I know how that meet and greet thing goes. Like, hey, what's up? Nice to meet you. Huge fan. He chose to take that time to try to explain the Sofa King podcast to them.
Like Tom Segura gives a shit.
Like. I don't know if Tom, but like the woman part of the podcast, I apologize. I can't think of her name right now, but she said, oh, that's a cool shirt, you know? And he was like, yeah, it's actually this podcast, and told him about it. So he said, if his plan went right, she might've actually listened. So we'll see.
They listened once.
Yeah. For 5 seconds. And then,
well, if you're listening.
Then they heard my Cage impression. And
if you're
over.
Listening, hello.
Hello, Tom Segura and partner.
and Lady Bits, like you don't even. You can't remember her name.
I just
want to say hi to Tom Segura's Dangerfields.
For the record, I don't remember fucking breakfast, so it's no offense to you. I suck at memory. Tom Segura is just, I've seen his comedy and shit, it's in my head. So it's not anything against her. I'm sure she's funny. I'll find out. I'm going to give her a solo shout
Christina.
Out next episode.
Christina Pazitsky.
That's fucking why I can't remember it. It's the last name. Yeah.
It's Pazitsky. Pazitsky.
She's like an Eastern European acne problem.
Pazitsky.
Yeah. Or a hockey player.
Way to go.
Did that make up for forgetting it? No.
No.
All right, Lady Bonus Shit. There you go. That's your shout out, sir.
Is that it? Is that it for the show? All right. That's, don't be a retard.
All right. And that concludes our Instagrammies.
No, I was going to say we should make stickers that are like an Instagrammy.
Oh, and you can win an Instagrammy?
We could send them to people who get shout-outs.
How about that?
There you go. Yeah.
Damn it, we're fucking good.
We are
good. We're like marketing geniuses because nobody else is doing that shit. Who else is giving out Instagrammies besides probably the Instagrammy Foundation?
Is that a thing? I'm going to look up Instagrammies. You guys can
see. They probably really do have that.
Yeah, they probably
But it's probably for stupid shit like fucking the retarded 15-year-old that combs his hair funny and has no abs. Or he has abs. He has abs. But only because he's 15. And he has 50,000 followers. And he does nothing. Like, he just posts selfies all day.
Why did he not have abs in the first place? Why did
And how funny is his hair?
It's fucking retarded. Like, I can find a guy right now.
This sounds too personal, Brad. Yeah. What's their Instagram name?
No, it's not. I don't even get on there.
I think you had someone in mind.
No.
I think we found his secret admirer.
Yeah.
He's mad. This kid's hair is great and he has abs.
His gorgeous hair and these rock hard abs.
Yeah, at Chim's Prod. No, actually, he just started listening to the podcast.
I still think we should just make up Instagram names with some numbers following them because it fucking exists.
Yeah.
And that's who gets the Instagram if we can contact them. Yeah.
That's for funny. One time we
were at my Periwinkle 22.
We were at my friend's house and he was in the kitchen cooking food and we were on his Xbox and then we quit out of the game and we just started sending friend requests to people, just random people. And we were like, Justin Bieber lover. Bieber 69.
Oh, yeah.
But just making up like some asshole who loves Justin Bieber has this. And then one by one, they all kept accepting his friend requests and we left every
like
time.
Like Lady Boner Poop. That's one for sure.
That probably is. So what's our topic today, Jen?
I have no idea.
Richard Branson.
Richard Charles Nicholas Branson.
Wow. Dang.
That's right. I broke it off.
Wow. There's a lot of lady boners on here.
Is there?
Mm-hmm.
No lady boner shits.
Mm-hmm.
Just the one. The one and only.
There's lady boner tweets.
Not as good.
No. Lady bone shaker.
That's pretty nice. I like that.
Man, he's getting 15 minutes of fame right now.
Yeah. Oh, man.
He did talk to Tom Segura and Christina hockey player first.
There's lady bone. That's a pretty good one. Or Christina gymnast, whatever you prefer.
Christina Eastern European.
Oh my god, that's pretty funny.
Pretzelzitsky. Pretzelzitsky. That's it.
Pretzelzitsky. Yes.
All right, we should talk about stuff. Like someone's getting mad right
now. Okay, someone is getting mad right now.
Shut up, Don.
So our topic is Richard Branson. We've looked at some other inventors and philanthropists and so forth in the past, and Richard Branson definitely fits the bill. I've always looked at him as a James Bond villain that just hasn't had a movie made about him yet.
He has cameos in James Bond movies.
He does, but he's the perfect setup to be a James Bond villain. He lives on a small island. He's got spacecraft. Like, I mean, come on.
I think he was portrayed in a villain in like The Simpsons or something too. Somewhere I read he was portrayed as a villain.
Was he?
Yeah.
So
he has his own island. He has
his own cereal.
He has his own planes. He has his own spaceship.
Everything. Yeah. Like fucking everything.
Yeah, if you've ever had Richard Raisin Branson, that's his own cereal.
It's about to happen. It's bound to happen. No, he has all the amenities that would necessitate an evil guy.
Right.
But he happens to be a cool dude.
Right, exactly.
He's like a hippie.
On the surface. Yeah. No, he changed over time. Is because he wasn't into global warming and stuff until he had a meeting with Al Gore.
But he was a hippie back in the day.
Yeah, so he's a hippie crit. Yeah.
He's a hippie crit. He was. How are you going to be a hippie and not believe about global warming? I don't know what happened there.
That was late.
So he's obviously the founder and the CEO of the Virgin Group and all that it encompasses.
Which comprises a fucking everything.
I didn't know. God. Yeah, one thing I didn't know, I've flown on Virgin Airlines. I actually took it to New York, and it was actually really nice. Way better than like American or United.
Right.
And cheaper. And I knew about like Virgin Records and Virgin Mobile. Like those are the big things you hear about.
Right.
I didn't realize that he was into trains and shit too.
Yeah.
Like, I knew a little bit about the space thing. I knew he was talking about getting people to space or at least suborbit, you know.
He has a book. I'm not sure if the title of the book is Screw It, Let's Do It. or if it's a quote from him, I can't remember where I saw it, but that's basically his motto. Like,
yeah,
he has enough money that he's pretty much immune to like failure. Like, he's going to be okay. So if he thinks something might be cool, he just goes for it. He's like, ah, fuck it. I like racing. I'll buy a Formula One. No,
and that's one of his things that he talks about a lot. Even like when he started his fucking record label, it he's was like him and his partners rich. And they were like, do you guys know anything about how to like produce music or do a record label? He was like, nope, let's do it.
Yeah.
And that's part of the name is he was like, no, we're all virgins at this, so let's do it. And we'll just
I think he got the idea too, because when he started Virgin Magazine, which was his first endeavor.
It was actually Student was what it was called.
Oh, Student.
Yeah. It was called Student.
Sorry. And he interviewed like a bunch of different music artists,
right?
Yeah.
Mick Jagger, yep. You know what I mean? Like, yep. All these different people, and probably got the idea from them. They're probably talking shit about record labels and sure. You know what I mean? Like all this stuff. And like, so he really liked music.
He was way ahead of his time. He started a mail order record company. Like that's like Netflix back in the day, like the whole subscriptive thing. Remember you used to be able to do that? You would just get like a CDs in the mail.
Yeah, like BMI.
You can never get off that fucking list.
Yeah.
Like you said yes to it once to get I'll just get three and I'll cancel.
Yeah, exactly.
And then they send you another one and charge you and you have a bill.
Tricky shit.
But no, so I mean, he owns over 200 businesses, and Virgin Money, Virgin Trains, Virgin Airlines, Virgin Galactic, which is him trying to get into space, Virgin Health Club, Virgin Comics, Virgin Animation, Virgin Healthcare, Virgin Books. He's starting Virgin Cruise Lines in 2020.
Virgin Vodka, Virgin Cola.
Those didn't do very well. Virgin Fuel, which is recent, and he's invested $3 billion to attempt to make new energy sources that don't harm the environment.
He drank that fuel. Like he was standing in front of a jet. Did you see that?
No.
It's made out of like coconut oil and some kind of bean from the rainforest.
Why would you do that when you just have water? Hydrogen is one of the most efficient fuels we can use. I don't understand why people don't develop something for that.
They do develop it. It's still some kind of conspiracy thing, though. It's like just some guy in Australia on YouTube has a fucking car that can drive forever and then he dies.
Yeah.
I think it's like an immediate death fucking wish if you make a water machine.
You can literally make a hydrogen like... supplement for your car. I've done
Steve
it.
Steve did it. Yeah. You did it.
I've done it. I know a guy who took his Ford truck that was getting 12 miles per gallon and it started getting 30 using it. And he had it in a fucking mason jar with metal plates and fucking, and a little fucking voltage meter to know how much he was giving the voltage to the little fucking thing. And
once it goes mainstream, they just kill you though. Like I know a guy, I won't say where, there's someone in town that's a fucking genius, this guy that I know, and he has like 600 gallons of fucking biofuel that he made at his house with some crazy process. He also is building a hydrogen fuel cell that is mason jars and tubes and shit.
Right.
Well, and you don't have to use mason jars. You can use
that's the thing. There's a kit. That's how they do it. Yeah.
Yeah. You don't have to. Yeah. That's bullshit though.
It would break. It seems volatile. Yeah. It's glass. You have hydrogen in the back of your car. Yeah. It's not good.
Well, no. You don't have hydrogen. It just produces a small amount.
Yeah.
It just produces a small amount and goes into your air intake. And it gets sucked in.
Did your science teacher ever light a hydrogen balloon though? Just a fucking party balloon full of hydrogen covers the
ceiling. No, literally. No, I had it in a plastic welding stick holder, welding rod holder, and it was bubbling, and the bubbles that come up have hydrogen inside of them, right? So you take a lighter and you light it, and it literally blows all the water out of the whatever container you have. Like it's fucking super explosive, but that's why it works good for fuel,
right?
You know.
And that's probably why people don't go out of their way to.
So he made it out of because if it is explosive,
that's not
everything is explosive.
Because he thought if he could utilize a resource from the rain source that wasn't being utilized, it would prohibit any more cutting of the rainforest, which is his goal. But he's running his giant $160 million jet on 20% of it right now. He said only because it is considered experimental, he probably could go up to 80 to 100%. But he's like, we're flying over houses. The jet cost $160 million. We're going with 20% right now.
Yeah.
Let's just do that first.
Let's
make sure this shit's cool.
You're flying and it's cutting out.
There's a problem with like altitude temperatures and the fuel freezing.
Oh, yeah.
So, it's a problem. But they have apparently, I don't know, through tank heaters or something, they've gotten around that issue. So, but shit happens.
Most Andrew has a fucking soccer team. So
I was looking because, every time we've looked at one of these like people who are like business geniuses that do all this stuff, we've talked about the fact that they
opposite to Richard Branson is Elon Musk.
Right.
I mean, these two guys are kind of one and the same.
Yeah, they kind of are. But we've always looked, and there's like, we've joked about the fact that whether you become a mad scientist or a huge business leader or a cult leader, you tend to have like these similar things of like, you were a genius in school, but you weren't very social and whatever. Yeah. And it was like Branson just blows that out of the water. It's just not true. He was horrible in school. He had dyslexia. He couldn't stand education. He dropped out of high school. Yeah. He failed out of a school when he was 13. They had to send him to another school. And by 16, he just said, I'm done with this. School is not for me.
Yeah.
The headmaster of his school told him right before he dropped out that he's either going to end up in prison or as a millionaire.
That's funny. I read that.
Because those are the only two paths this guy was going to take. But he was like hugely social.
He accomplished both for the record.
Yeah, he did accomplish both. He was hugely social, and he wasn't a particularly bright student, which kind of bucks against everybody else that we've talked about that's in a similar category. And he didn't come from a wealthy family, just kind of a middle-class family. His mom was a stewardess, actually, which I wonder if that had any influence in him buying an airline. So he dropped out of high school when he was 16 because he wanted to focus on his magazine called Student, right? And again, this shows you where his particular genius comes up, because he's 16 years old. This is in 1966. Mm-hmm. And he says, I'm going to start a magazine. In fucking 1966, the first episode, he sells $8,000 worth of advertising for his magazine.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
Episode one,
what
1966.
What the fuck are
like
we doing?
Launching from, like, I got nothing.
Yeah.
And I'm selling $8,000.
Well, and with like, inflation, how much is that?
Exactly. Magazine, that's
magazines
what I'm saying.
Are
that's
new. I mean, you know, these things are, I mean, I'm sure there's not a whole lot of publications out there.
So $8,000 in $66, like that's a significant fucking amount of money.
He just doubled it, and $16,000.
Yeah, he made so much money that he was just, I mean, the magazine was given out for free, which was part of the thing as well, because now he can say, look, 50,000 people are going to read your magazine. They don't have to pay for it.
Right.
And then it's like, oh shit, I'll definitely advertise in that.
It's the same thing that those guys do with the kids magazine that comes in here.
Yeah.
Like, hey, throw some of these away so my boss thinks that people read them.
I don't know what you're talking about. I never witnessed that.
I don't give a fuck.
But so it shows early on, education wasn't his thing. He's not like some technological genius. He's not like fucking doing coding. His genius is talking to people, making deals, seeing the potential for something to grow, taking huge fucking risks on shit he knows nothing about, but thinking so differently about the way the business model should work. It's like, oh, a magazine. How do magazines work? They make money by selling copies, and then secondarily, they make money through advertising. He was like, nope, we're going to make all our money through advertising, and we're going to give them away. It's like he just totally looks at the way he looks at what needs to happen as the end goal, and he like completely reinvents it from the bottom up and does it totally differently.
Well, there's so many models that have came off that. I mean, radio, it's given away for free,
right?
And makes money on advertising,
right?
Podcasts, same thing.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of models. There's still magazines today here in our town.
Whoa! We're giving this away for free.
Yeah.
You never told me that.
Well, that's why you haven't got paid.
Yeah. Fuck! I thought you were just holding it in an offshore account.
We paid Dave Monopoly money.
we give him stacks of
money's
paper.
Not really pastel, Dave.
Yeah. Damn it.
Yeah, hundreds aren't blue, Dave.
I don't. That shit's all stuffed in my mattress right now. Sorry, I didn't mean to derail you.
That's okay. I forgot what I was talking about.
That's okay.
No, I was going to say there's in our hometown, we have magazines like that all over. You have camera ads who sell cars that are advertising based. You have Bakersfield magazine that's free. And is advertising based. I mean, those models are still around and they work, you know?
So he does this when he's 16 in 1966 and starts making a lot of money doing it. And then when he was 19, even at 16, when he says, I'm dropping out of school to start a magazine, his parents were like, that's okay.
Yeah. You're not very good at school.
Go for it. Yeah. Probably a good idea. Like his mom and dad were like notorious for supporting all of his endeavors and just like, oh, if you think that's what's best, then do it. You know, I got your back, which I think probably goes a long way to his success. I mean, if his parents were like, no, damn it, you're going to stay in school and all this stuff. But if you have parents who are actually encouraging you to pursue your passions, I think that definitely helps. But in 69, when he was 19, he moved to a commune in London that was like a big scene of like drugs and music and hippies and all this stuff. And there is where he started his mail order record company. And again, such and a thing Virgin didn't Records, exist. That right? was Virgin. Yeah. That was Virgin Records. Yeah. So, and then he opened up a record shop after the mail. And he did all this to supplement the magazine.
And he uses the magazine to advertise for the mail order record thing. Right. He does his whole like,
right. Yeah. And he's doing the mail order. I mean, he's doing the mail order records just to give more money to the magazine right. and he's advertising. So he does this great synergy between his yeah. companies. But again, he's never done anything like this. And he just jumps at it and starts this mail order record company.
And they call it Virgin because they didn't know anything about the business.
Yeah. They're all like brand they got new into to it.
Like, and, yep. and it stuck to that because everything he's got into he doesn't know anything about so it works
right
like,
right
that's his thing
right so he and one thing that I read because I looked into it and it said that he was able to undercut everyone else's prices in selling these records at his record shop that he eventually opened yeah. and through the mail order thing and it turned out that he was acquiring records and I don't know the laws of all this but he was acquiring records that the were meant laws. For export
yeah. yeah
so the exported albums
they were cheaper
selling
because they had to have export yes. fees.
Yeah. So you would sell them cheaper. So there were export fees that would make them break out to the same, but he was selling them locally and bypassing the export yeah. fees. And then eventually he got busted for doing it.
Yep.
And he had to pay back all these export fees and do all this stuff. And again, how much support he had, his mother, Eve, remortgaged the house yep. to help pay for the lawsuit that he got hit with when he got busted for selling the yep. cheaper albums.
I think he didn't get hit with the lawsuit. He agreed to pay the back taxes and they kind of gave him like a freebie is what I read. I thought.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But it was like 60 grand on right. the second mortgage that his mom fronted for.
Yeah.
To save
yeah.
His ass. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's again like, oh, these records are supposed to export, but they're only this much money. I'll just fucking sell them at that.
Yeah. yeah but I mean, you could always tell your mom like, hey, we're going to make the money back. Like right. if you do this for me, like, mm-hmm. well, I'll just pay this. I'll make this money back. We'll give it to you. You know, you right. have the money back, pay it off. No big right. deal.
It did work out for her. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. It worked out nicely. I yeah. think
she has her own island.
Yeah. So then by 72,
she lives on Tupac Island.
She does live on Tupac Island. By 72, he knows how to get there. Branson has the magic way. Mm. 72, he starts Virgin Records and the Virgin Recording label, and he opens his first recording
studio. The fucking Manor Studio. That thing is a fucking castle. Did you see that thing?
I didn't see it.
Jesus Christ. It's like a fucking, like, Yorkshire castle.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's fucking ridiculous.
Brad loves castles and things about castles. Castle Times.
He does. So he's 20.
I would live in Castle Times.
You've been?
Yeah, I'd be like the pit fighter.
I'd be kind of like Martin Lawrence in Black Knight, I think.
Maybe. I don't think I've seen that.
Well, what about Martin Lawrence and Bad Guys? That's what I see.
Bad Guys?
Bad Boys.
Bad Guys is like the spinoff. Like
that was the just gay, like Will that Smith's was the gay cover. Porn. That was the gay porn version. Bad Guys.
Bad Guys.
Sorry. Got him confused.
But in 72, he starts the record label and he creates the studio. And then I looked and it said that his first record that he produced was a guy named Mike Oldfield. And it was the song Tubular Bells.
Yeah, Tubular Bells. Yeah.
Did you guys listen to it?
No. I went to go look for
Holy
it.
Holy shit.
It might be the outro song.
A, it's the fucking song from The Exorcist.
Okay.
Like it's the song from the, you're going to hear it. You'll hear it. But the thing is, here's the thing though.
It really is.
It was at, it's the song from The Exorcist. It was on the UK charts for 247 weeks.
Jesus Christ.
The song from the fucking Exorcist, the creepy bells.
Yeah.
Like,
that's what I say. What's wrong with people from the UK? Like,
but then when you listen to the whole album, it's like the first 4 minutes are from The Exorcist. And then it turns into this hippie, weird bell, Exorcist, guitar, drug. I'm just baked and listening to this crazy shit, but it was like just out of nowhere, this bizarre album just blew up the charts and made a lot of money. And then because he had those contacts from Student Magazine, he started to get all kinds of people. He discovered the Sex Pistols and Culture Club and signed both of them.
And Sex Pistols, you know, were super controversial.
Yep.
And nobody else
name, no one wanted to sign.
Yeah, nobody else would sign them.
Right.
And of course
he did.
Yeah,
and it was huge.
Of course, Charles Bronson signed him.
Charles Manson signs him, and then Culture Club, same thing. Like this weird Boy George, like androgynous, like bizarre. He's like, "Yep, let's sign him." Like he's signing these weird acts that no one else is signing, but he knows.
But he was into music though.
Yeah, he was into music, and he knew they could produce good music. Yep. They were going to have a following, and he took risks on these people. Eventually, he signs Genesis and Phil Collins, the Rolling Stones. And in just a handful of years, he becomes the number six record label in the world, just out from nothing. Yeah, like he just fucking hooks it
from
up.
From Student Magazine.
Know? Yeah, from like, Student Magazine.
It's crazy.
I wonder if Student Magazine is worth any money now.
I don't know. We should get the website.
I'll look on Google or eBay and
see if you can find Student Magazine. Yeah. So, this just sets him up, right? So now, I mean, and this is what everybody I think knows him for. He starts to open the Virgin megastores that are like massive record stores all over the place, you know, Los Angeles, New York, London. He opens Virgin megastores every place as a means to keep selling his records and keep doing all that stuff. And this is where he really starts to branch out and become international. But his business sense is just uncanny with his ability to do all this stuff.
Yeah.
Did you find anything?
No, New Yorker, Life, Mad. I can't find any student magazines. Right. That's weird. So if you have one, probably worth money because it must be rare. Student Lawyer Magazine? Nothing. I don't know. That's odd.
Yeah. If you have a copy of Student Magazine number one, I'll buy it from you for $5.
Deal.
Cash.
Actually, we do need one for the studio.
We do.
That's something I wanted to do was get a piece from each show that we talked about and put and have it in the studio. Like a piece of art from Charles Manson would be fucking awesome.
That would be awesome.
I'm just saying, like, stuff like that. Like a piece of student like a student magazine cover. Get
Charles Manson art.
That's sure you can. People have it.
$100,000, I'm sure.
It's I don't know. John Wayne Gacy did art, too.
I'm
sure it's all expensive.
Real expensive.
Real expensive.
Like a lamp from Ed Gein.
No, thanks.
Oh, we can probably get.
No, thank you.
A nipple belt would go
Belt, I mean, just hang it. Yeah. We could use it as a guitar strap, like put it on the guitars that are hanging.
Right. You're wearing a nipple belt right now, aren't you?
I am. Homemade. Yeah. It's just pig nipples, though.
Okay.
Because I get more of them.
Right. You get more per death.
More per kill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Humans are very inefficient if you're making a nipple belt.
Double kill. Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah, I'd kill way more in females. I'm not wearing male nipples.
Branson, out of nowhere, again, just showing like this is how he just tends to live all of his life and do all of his stuff. In 84, he finds that there's a 747 for sale and he fucking buys it. And he gets all the licenses.
I mean, why not?
Why not? So he makes Virgin Atlantic and he has flights that go from London to New York on his one single plane. And he just starts a airline.
And he undercuts everybody.
Sure. Yeah. And the other thing is, like, I watched an interview with him, and I think this talks to why Virgin Atlantic succeeded and why most of his stuff succeeds is that they said that the hiring in most Virgin companies, I read in an article, he hires one out of about 100 applicants because it doesn't matter how qualified they are. It matters what their personality is because when he talks about it, he says in normal businesses, the stockholder is number one.
Yep.
The customer is number two. And the people that work there are number three.
Yeah.
And his philosophy with his companies is that the employees are number one because he thinks that if I treat them well, if they're paid well, if they get good benefits and good vacations, that makes them loyal to the company. Yeah. That makes them want to do their job, not just some bullshit pissed off Walmart greeter making minimum wage, like a person who loves the company, likes Richard Branson, likes the brand and is willing, like that's going to inevitably lead to great customer service.
Oh, yeah.
Because you love what you're doing and you love your company. Therefore, the customers are going to be happy and they're going to spend more money there. Therefore, the stockholders are going to be happy because you're going to make more money.
Yeah.
And that was kind of what was unique about Virgin Atlantic is that it was just famous for just unparalleled customer service, like the amenities you were given on the plane, how you were treated at the ticket booth, like because everybody was making a really good wage. Everybody was really happy. So this really made Virgin Atlantic explode because people would get on this plane and they already know the Virgin brand. You've seen it. Right. It's not just out of the blue. Like even if you don't realize, oh, this is only records and whatever, you still recognize recognize the brand, so you're comfortable getting on the plane. But then you just get this amazing customer service. Yeah. You're going to be like, fuck it. I'm going back.
And he's smart. Like I said, I took a Virgin flight from here, from LA to New York, and it's a 6-hour flight, and all the seats had a little bit more leg room.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like they probably got rid of a row of seats to make room for the rest of the seats, and that little bit of difference. So he missed, you know, so many passengers, but if I was going to fly again, I'm going to fly on that if I can. You know what I mean? Like it's just a little bit better.
And it does. Well, go ahead.
I was going to say that what's crazier too is like, I mean, yes, there's some like some good deeds. I have something to say about like the staff maybe at Necker Island where he lives later, because it made me wonder, like he has a bunch of like staff members that live on the neighboring island. And they didn't seem totally happy about their job. Like, I mean, it's a great job. They work on like Paradise Island. But my more impressive thing was that he takes, as far as like philanthropists, he takes all the profits from Virgin Air and Virgin Rail, which is equivalent of like $3 billion. Mm-hmm. And all profits from both of those ventures actually go to global warming efforts.
Wow.
100% of profits.
No, he's 100% in it.
Of the profits.
Because he has so many other businesses. Yeah. Like, yeah. He has so many others that those two are just like, okay, that's pretty good. That's like,
because to be honest, when I was looking at his holdings, all these massive companies that he owns, and then when I looked that his net worth is only, which is a
$5 billion
thing,
or something,
only
like that.
$5 billion. He should easily be 20-30 billion based on the size of his empire.
Well, he's giving $3 billion
exactly.
away.
Like
just in those two companies.
I heard somewhere if he liquefied, it would be like, in, as of 2015, if he liquefied all assets, it was $52 billion or something crazy.
Probably. Maybe. Yeah.
But yeah, current holdings for what you can actually account for. What he
but
has.
Again, I mean, you look at the way typical corporations work, and the top makes all the money,
right,
and the typical employees make shit. But by the fact of paying my employees a good workable wage, I'm not worth $30 billion. I'm worth $5 billion.
Yeah.
You know, and he's willing to live with that, you know, because it makes everything stronger.
His hiring process is kind of cool though. Like, I mean, it really is about personality. Like I watched this documentary about Necker Island, which is really interesting. If you guys look that up, it's just on YouTube. But it's basically, he bought an island when he was 28. Like he was on a helicopter ride or something, saw Necker Island, bought it. And then it was just like some island in the middle of nowhere. He bought it for £180,000.
Yeah. So that's only like $300,000. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's worth a ton now. But he fixed it, and there's like a guy that works there that was there as a child when they planted the coconut trees or something, and they're now full grown coconut trees. And I mean, most of the staff, they interview him though, and they're like, "What's your favorite part of the day?" They're like, "When I go home." And then like,
well, it's because they're fucking working.
Yeah, working. Yeah. But I would have been like fucking real tight lipped about not liking my job or something, you know. But they're making beds and cleaning up after super crazy rich people. Like it literally costs like $30,000 a night for a room there.
Fuck,
something crazy.
Yeah, that'd be. And they're all fucking. Excuse me. Can I get my tea, please? Yeah. Can I get my tea? Yeah. Hey, you fucking bitch! Give me my fucking tea.
It seemed more like people were pretty cool though, but it was around the clock, 24/7. If you want a fucking bacon burger in the middle of the night, or some weird ass French cheese or something weird, they
you know
have
they're
it,
spitting on the burgers.
It, they'll bring it. No, the staff was fucking cool. So my point to my story is this guy works at this like a water sports scuba shop or something, and like boxes keep coming through that are getting shipped out, and he keeps labeling like, Jesus Christ, who's buying all this? Who's Richard Branson? They're like, you don't know who Richard Branson is? He's like, nah, who's that?
Like,
look it up.
Island.
So he like Googles him, like, oh shit, it's going to Necker Island. It's this guy. And this guy just works at the aquatic shop or whatever. And so he sends him an email and says like, hey, I do this. He was like a kite surfing instructor or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, after some correspondence, they invite him out for like a 9-day fucking thing. They said, hey, we actually need some help. Why don't you come out for 9 days? We're going to pay you this. And so he busts his ass for 9 days. He lives there now. Like, he is the kite surfing instructor he lives in fucking paradise. Like at the end of the day, they go swim with dolphins and shit in the ocean. Like it's pretty ridiculous. And
do they use saddles for the dolphins?
Yes.
Dolphin saddles?
Yes.
Because that's what I want to know.
Yeah. They have it was kind of cool. They had golf balls that like, I was kind of like, these motherfuckers are just hitting golf balls off in the ocean. But then one guy stopped and he's like, these aren't really like golf balls. They're fish food. Like they're compressed fish food golf balls that when you hit them, they like dissolve and the fish eat them. And they're like super biodegradable. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that neck Riker Island thing was pretty cool, but it made me wonder because there's like this island where all the staff lives, and like a bus goes and picks them up at like 5 a.m. and brings them over to the island, and then they clean all the beds, do all the laundry, and they take them back to their little one-bedroom apartment. But they do live in an island in the Caribbean, and most of their days spent in paradise.
Yeah, where else would they be living?
It just seemed like you could hook them up better on their island. Like the island part should be nicer, as much money as he has.
That
you
could No. You don't live on the nice island.
It was like the neighbor island.
You live in Compton Island.
It should be like a really like, damn, the community on the island, like when they're off, they're fucking off.
Yeah, like
off.
Luxury like apartments TVs, or something.
Luxury apartments.
Yeah.
It seemed like if what you're saying is true about the Atlantic, like the Virgin Airline thing, that it would be the housing for them.
Those are the really island people, though. They don't matter.
Yeah, I don't know.
Those are brown people. I think that only applies to white people.
They were dark brown for sure.
You're forgetting who you're talking to.
This is not okay.
Brown people can't keep their house up.
He is British.
It used to be nice.
You know, that does have to be a part of it.
That's why we can't have nice things.
But even like he said in an interview that one of the questions that he always asks his potential people that he's hiring.
Will you suck my dick for free?
Yes. That's always the question. No, the question is, you know, what isn't on your resume? Because he's more interested in some other cool, like what's
he doesn't
your passion?
Care what's on
like,
there,
yeah,
right?
Fucking
yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. You have a fucking MBA.
You can do Excel. Whatever, great blah, for blah, you.
What isn't on, like, what are you most proud of that isn't on your resume? And if someone's like, oh, the fact
that walnut shells.
Exactly. And it's like, next. But if someone else says something cool, like, oh, I actually fucking program video games in my spare time, or like
if I went in for the interview and I'm like, I make dolphin saddles. I'm investing. Legit,
you're there.
No, people swim. He said the craziest thing that happened is he was in the middle of a. He wakes up and there's two personal assistants that just help him do email, and he dictates 90% of it. Just verbally, just says this is what you're writing in the email. And these girls are just sitting there like typing away. He said in the middle of a meeting, dude swam up on shore from a neighboring island to pitch him because it's a private island. The dude swam, came up there and pitched an idea, and he's like, you know, it was a pretty
good
idea.
Who was it, Michael Phelps?
He's like, it was a good idea. He's like, it was about gyms on trains, but he's like, the problem is there's just limited space on trains, so I had to decline. But it was totally open to the fact the guy swam from another fucking
island. He's
like,
yeah, we'll have a meeting. Come on
in. So one of the guests had, you know, wasn't rich. He sells elevators, and he had like won the trip
for
a charity.
That's a tough job.
Yeah.
Elevator salesman. Oh, you got a one-story house? Shit.
Like, I can get you to your roof real quick.
Yeah, real quick.
Fix that AC.
No, thanks.
So he finally got to talk to Branson, and he was on there. He couldn't afford. He wasn't rich. He just sells elevators. He had won a charity auction where he bid on a trip there, and it was for charity, and he spent more money than should. It was like 16 grand or something, which was a deal, though, because it was 7 days or something.
Right.
So he's there all week, and Branson just has a fucking burger at the table, and he goes and has lunch with everyone. He's just there. He's hanging out because there's
a normal guy.
There's only like 20 guests on the island. There's three people to serve each guest. And there's only 20 people on the island. So that's why it costs so much. But he finally tells Branson, hey, I sell elevators, and like pitches him a little bit because there's no elevators on the island and there's some stuff. And so finally Branson's like, what if we made an elevator that takes you to the top of the island? And that's the only way you get to pitch me, because in salesmanship, you have 90 seconds. That's the rule. You got 90 seconds from beginning to end to make your pitch and close the deal. And he's like, if you don't pitch me in the elevator, then you don't pitch me. Like, so they came up with a plan. I don't know if anything came of it, but he actually went with it. He's like, hey, I sell elevators. And he came up with some idea.
That's how open
he is to like business plans. Like, well, maybe we could build an elevator. Like, we'll just make it. And then people want to pitch me an idea. They have to ride in the elevator with me. And if they can close me in 90 seconds, I'll give them the money. Like,
yeah, you have to make sure that elevator travels from here to here in 90 seconds.
Like, does he call it the Wonka-vader?
Yes,
the Wonka-vader. He's a
very
fucking
Wonka
lunatic.
Yeah. But every time he gets in, and he puts funny glasses on.
There's just
okay, kids.
There's like there's four buttons. There's like a red one that we don't talk about because it launches to the air. There's one that says bottom, one that says top, and the other one has a picture of a shark. Why is a shark button in there?
Is that a shark or a dolphin?
Yeah, the red one is Virgin Galactic.
You win.
So he in the 90s, in 92, Virgin Air was just starting to pick up steam, but it was struggling to do well.
So he started Virgin Acid Wash Jeans.
That's right.
Yeah, in 92.
He sold Virgin Records. for $1 billion so that he could keep the airline alive because he realized this is what he wanted to stay with, not the record
business.
And
he wept.
Yeah. The claims are that he wept as he signed the contract and that he ran down Ladybrook Grove in London crying after the sale because it was so hard for him to sell this. But he knew his future was in this airline and he needed capital.
Which I think that was a smart move. Unknowingly, he did it before the internet hit big.
Yeah, that's true. Because the record company would have taken a shit a couple of years later, and he still got the airlines.
Companies don't make money now.
Yeah, yeah. So I think it
was the airline industry in 9 years when somebody slammed a couple into some buildings.
Yeah, but he weathered it. And another thing that I saw, which was crazy, did you see about the weird war he had with British Airways?
Yeah, there were like claims of them hacking and poaching clientele.
Yeah.
They settled out legally, though. Yeah,
because British Airways was starting to become threatened by Virgin, and so they started doing all this little like sneaky shit to steal the passengers and hacking his emails.
He gave all the money that he was awarded from British Airways out as bonuses to his employees too.
They
gave him $500 grand, then $100 grand, then they gave him all the legal fees, $3 million in legal fees.
And I'm sure you have a lot of employees, but just getting an extra $1,000 check or something,
he called it the British Airways bonus, and he just cut it down the middle and gave it to everybody who worked.
And then later, British Airways or British Rail tried to do price fixing or something.
Yeah.
And he ratted them out for attempting to price fix. And they let, because Atlantic, or why do I keep saying Atlantic? What is Atlantic? Virgin out of trouble because they tipped them off on the wrongdoings of what was going on with the negotiations of price fixing. And they charged them like $270 million or something for an attempt to price fix for British Rails.
Fuck.
Yeah. So he went back and forth with British Airways and British Rails. Yeah. Ah, fuck it.
So he was price fixing as well, but then he snitched on the other ones?
They attempted to negotiate with him? Yeah. So it sounded like they were like this is wrong. And then they told him like, hey, this is going on. They're trying to get us to do this. And so then they let him off and fined them $270
That's crazy.
Million, I think it was.
Because he bought like a major investment in like all of European rails. So he owns a ton of that shit. And then the biggest thing, of course, that he made a big splash, and especially maybe we hear about it more than others because we're really close to Mojave, and that's where the Mojave Spaceport is, and that's where he tends to operate this particular endeavor. But in 2004, he started Virgin Galactic with Microsoft co-founder Paul Allen and with Burt Rutan, who's the like a famous legendary aerospace engineer.
Yeah, if you don't know who Burt Rutan is, you just don't know.
Burt Rutan.
As soon as you see his sideburns, you'll know who he is.
Burt Rutan
and Palin
and Paul Allen and he get together to make Virgin Galactic. And the goal, of course, is to get tourists to be able to go into space. That's the goal.
$200,000
we can get you into space. That's the goal.
Suborbit.
It's in the blue area.
But this is real. This is like a lot of people from when I was reading. A lot of people look at what we would consider the modern era of sort of technological philanthropy, of people like Elon Musk, of people like Bill Gates, like giving away all this money towards these high-tech endeavors. A lot of people point to Virgin Galactic as kind of the beginning of this. Like there's other groups, like I forget the crazy fucker's name that owns Skinwalker Ranch, and he's trying to get things into space. Mm-hmm. Elon Musk is being very successful getting things into space. Branson was the first one to do this.
Yeah.
Like everybody at the time was like, you want to do what? And he was like, yeah, I'm going to get civilians into space. And there was like NASA didn't have any contracts with civilians at the time. It was still the space shuttle fleet. Like this was like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah.
And he was like, yep, we're going to build spaceships.
He kind of opened the door for Elon Musk.
He totally did. Yeah.
Call that craft the White Knight though, right? Isn't that the same thing?
White Knight too, yeah.
Jim Jones called the fake.
the White Knight.
Oh. Yeah,
different spelling of the word knight.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, it was called the
That's
White
still
Knight.
That's kind of scary.
Yeah, it is kind of scary. But so his goal and I was reading and it was like, okay, if this is 2004, how come we're still not hearing about very much of this? But from what I was reading, he's trying to invent entirely new types of engines that use entirely new types of fuel.
Right.
Because as we mentioned earlier, he, like, a huge thing for him is global warming and all of this stuff. And he doesn't want
to
create.
And how much rocket fuel does it take to get into space or suborbit even?
Right.
It's going to be a lot. So especially doing multiple trips just constantly.
Exactly. Yeah. So he's trying to come up with engines that aren't going to use typical fuels, aren't going to
hot
emit
balloons,
greenhouse
man.
Gases.
Hot
that's what he's trying to do, which is like a big slowdown for him, but he's still at it. I mean, and they
he had a plane that like circumvented the globe or something with nine tons of fuel versus 1,000 tons of fuel that it would take in a traditional plane.
Yeah. Right.
He's done a lot of stuff too. Record breaking world Guinness stuff. Like
he's crazy with the weird record breaking.
Yeah. Weird shit.
Though. I have
weird
a little
shit.
Bit of a problem with it. He always like gets the guy that can do it and goes along for the ride. Like he goes like, oh, let's find the best sailor or whatever. And I'll put some gear on too. And I'll steer the wheel while you tell me what to do. I can't blame him. He's still fucking in a balloon at high altitude, traveling at 270 miles an hour.
In a fucking storm.
But it's not like he was just up there with a bottle of fucking whiskey and a map going for it. He brings like the guy that really broke the record and he's a passenger. Like we did it together.
Yeah. But the thing is though, is like Amelia Earhart was a pilot,
right?
You know what I mean? He's not, he does these things that he's not, you know, the whole virgin thing. So if me and you wanted to do something, we weren't skilled
but it's
in?
Like, hey, I'm going to break the land speed record. And this driver that was probably going to break the land speed record, I'll pay for your car, but there's going to be a second seat in the back. I'll look at the gauge and tell you like,
here's the thing though. He's still
the map. Keep going straight.
Yeah. He's still fucking like in 91, he broke a record flying in a fucking balloon, 6,700 miles at average 240 miles per hour from Japan to Arctic Canada.
I'm taking nothing away from his danger. Well,
that's the thing. I mean, the shit he, like, there's multiple of them.
I don't care if
crashed.
There's a dude who knows what's going on in the balloon or not.
Yeah,
like, that shit's scary.
Multiple of his things have crashed. One of the fucking first attempts he made, the ship
scuttled.
Didn't
he do the, like, a glider thing? Like,
yeah,
the
shit he does is still dangerous.
He had to
be
rescued by helicopters so many times that he created a rescue helicopter company.
Yeah.
Because there was, public outcry.
There was public outcry.
Because he kept having to rescue it. It cost so much.
He owns a drone company now. Mm-hmm. Like that's his new endeavor.
I'm sure he does. But he's made four attempts to go around the entire world in a balloon.
Only Jackie
but all
Chan
four
does
times
that.
The balloon didn't
Pops.
Didn't make it, you know. So I mean, yeah, he does pay for someone who's the best at it and get him to do it.
Well,
but
you know,
to me, that doesn't take
Gary
away.
Coleman hates balloons. Does so anytime you fly over Gary Coleman, it's getting shot down.
That's why he is successful.
That why it keeps happening?
Every time.
That's his arch enemy.
He hits a certain spot, Gary Coleman's like, nope.
If he's a James Bond villain, Gary Coleman's his James Bond.
Yeah.
He did cross the English Channel in record time with an amphibious vehicle.
That was kind of James Bond cool.
That was.
I watched that.
And then that TV show Top Gear tried to build one and beat his time, but they couldn't do it. Which
you see the Coast? I think that's the one the Coast Guard stopped them. The Coast Guard stopped them. They're like, what are you doing? Like, he's like, we're trying to beat Beardy Branson or something. And they're all, good luck, carry on. And like, because they were driving some weird contraption. They're like, what the fuck is this thing?
Fucking Haitians, they're coming.
Did you see that car though? Did you see
it?
No, I didn't see it.
It looks like a little fucking convertible Mercedes or something. And then it just fucking like Back to the Future hovercraft fucking into the water and just hauls ass. It goes 100 miles an hour in the water.
Wow.
But it's convertible.
Think if you hit the deadliest storm the fucking perfect storm, like in that thing.
They had windshield wipers turned on though. It was hilarious. They're just sitting there like they're soaking wet and the windshield wipers were on a convertible.
Why didn't they have a top? Like, it didn't make any sense.
It was because it just added to the fucking badassery.
His Jagger hair was just
flowing.
I think like a
wind.
Fucking Simpson character.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I was thinking was a Simpson character. That's funny.
Yeah, but and so at some point he actually met with Al Gore and he became like really focused on global warming. And again, like he fucking this is why I have respect for the guy. Whatever your stance on global warming is, like this is something he became passionate in and he puts his fucking money where his mouth is.
Well, the thing is that he gave Al Gore 90 seconds to close him and Al Gore started his sentence with, I invented the internet. And then he kept going and it was fucking, it was over in 3 seconds. And he's like, whatever else comes out of this guy's mouth, I'm in.
I'm on board.
But he created what he called the Virgin Earth Challenge in 2007, which is a, like an X Prize kind of a thing. And he's got a standing $25 million prize for someone. He doesn't care what the technology is, but if you can create a technology that will help remove anthropogenic greenhouse gases, gases that are created by human endeavors, and it can consistently remove gases for 10 years in a row with no harmful net effect to the climate,
I got real sidetracked.
He'll give you $25 million.
Bill Gates is like, I can do that.
Yeah.
I just got $25 million.
Yeah. I can do it for $20 million. Yeah. I'll profit
$5 million. Sounds good.
When I read that, I was like, I feel like I could build something. What can I fucking build? I started getting all motivated. I was like, I can make something.
That's the whole point.
How has no one built anything?
Like, someone out there is thinking, fuck, well, what could I build? And people, I'm going to get a $25 million purse.
Well, my first roadblock was I didn't know what anthropogenic was. So I was like, fuck, I don't know what that is. But I bet I could do it. I don't know what that is. It sounds like it's removing hormones from the environment.
It doesn't matter. We're killing cows. Yeah.
It has to catch cross-dressers. I'm pretty sure that's what it's for. It's a cage in Hollywood, catches cross-dressers. Yeah,
it's a cop that kills cows and catch cross-dressers.
But it has to have a solar 10-year battery life. Yeah.
So Richard Branson just shakes his head sadly as you go to jail. Yeah.
He has a solar-powered gun.
I remove carbon dioxide from the atmosphere.
Was that 90 seconds? Did we close you? Was that 90 seconds? Did we close you? Mm-hmm. That's what I want to know.
Okay, Sir Richard Branson. We've got a cop.
And a cross-dresser.
He captures cross-dressers.
And kills cows.
In a cage and kills cows.
That are mouth-breathing, yeah.
25 million?
Yeah, because the more cows you kill, less carbon dioxide.
That check can be made. He'll do it for 10 years. Podcast.
He'll do it with a crossbow. That way, there's no chemical residue coming out.
Yeah, and we can make fertilizer out of them.
We can do it. Yep. Yeah. Fertilizer puts out CO2, though. We're screwed.
That's true. Yeah.
Carbon dioxide.
Yeah. All right. We haven't worked out all the wrinkles.
We'll get it. I mean, we just started.
Look what we did in 2 minutes.
Yeah. We're getting close.
We're already close. Yeah. We're like 90% right now.
Give us a year.
Yeah. You know what? We would have been done if we didn't drink that 90R whiskey.
Yeah. That's true.
It would have been 100%.
Florida whiskey deadened our brains and turned into an alligator beater. But no, so he gets into tons of philanthropy.
Do that every day.
He spends money. He's a founding co-sponsor for the International Center for Missing and Exploited Children, and like tries to fix this. He started something which, again, I think makes him sound like a James Bond villain. He started a group in 2007 called The Elders.
And that's a cult.
It's Richard Branson, the musician Peter Gabriel, oddly enough.
The fuck is that?
Nelson Mandela was in it, and then Kofi Annan, who used to be the Secretary General for the United Nations. And the goal of it was independent global leaders working together for peace and human rights. So whenever a war or a genocide or whatever, the point of the elders is to get like top tier statesmen from around the world to see if they can settle the war, if they can stop the conflict, if they can. It's like a global peace force that goes out to stop like mediators from starting. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure after the apocalypse, he's going to rule the world from like a kite surfing board and board shorts. Like, he just has a fucking cell phone earpiece on like Jerry Maguire. He's like, save the kids, give them money, fuel the jets. Like, what the fuck is his day like?
It's going to be the Escape from LA, Kurt Russell. It's going to be the Mandela effect where it's changed and it's Richard Branson now, like on the surfboard.
Yeah.
Like, right.
It won't be Henry.
Involvement in so many things. Like, how does he have time to chill on an island ever? Yeah. How is it not like,
no, that's my question.
Sell, yes, no, yeah, pull it, fucking, like, he has so many crazy
200
decisions.
Companies.
Well, good management. I guess he delegates really well.
Yeah, he must.
He's like, I'm eating shrimp and drinking beer right now, sir.
Yeah, exactly.
I pay you to figure out.
Well, that's why you only have 90 seconds to pitch him.
Right. Because that's it.
That's it. That's all the time he's got.
But in 2009, he started a group called the Carbon War Room, which tries to eliminate carbon from the atmosphere. He started a thing called Virgin Startup in the UK that gave away, in like a year, it gave away $600,000 to small businesses to help them. Companies. Like to succeed, like little British startup companies. He started the Branson School of Entrepreneurship in Africa for poor African students so they could like learn business and start businesses. In 2013, when Uganda had its like really violent anti-homosexual laws, mm-hmm. he pulled every single company that had any dealings with Uganda out of Uganda. Yeah. And he urged every other CEO of corporations to also boycott him. He founded a African Wildlife Fund to stop poaching in 2014. Like, he just fucking does tons of legitimate stuff.
Screw it, let's do it.
Money. Yeah, screw it, let's do it.
I think once you're in a position like of that financial status, like, and you've already done a business, it's just a different business. So you're like, it's okay, a business, yeah. I have the money. What do we need to do this? And then you're surrounded with people. You already have someone over here that sure. knew how to build this, that knew
and
how to do that.
Lawyers and
yeah, you're like, okay, here's what we need. Let's get it started. Get the paperwork in process. We need a manager. We need a this thing to happen. And you just start signing papers and saying yes or no to some fucking things.
Right.
And it starts, I mean, not to discredit, you know, the accomplishments, but I think that's what happens is once you're in that position and you know how to do a business, you could start the other
for
thing.
For sure.
You know?
Well, but the thing, the fact of the matter is, he's part of a handful of billionaires who do that, though.
Right.
A lot of people, if they had $5 billion, would be obsessed about making 10,
yeah.
and they're not giving any money to anything unless it's a tax write-off.
Well, and there's
and he just like focuses on these good deeds, and that's part of what he
wants
to do for his
life. I know this guy, he owned a computer shop, and he started a taco shop in 3 days.
Yeah.
Yeah. The grocery list and fucking $300.
Sounds fucking boring.
Yeah.
No, I was going to say, like, on Ellis, they were talking about there's kind of two types of people. Like, you have the people who like staring at their bank account, waking mm-hmm. up, they log in, they look at their bank account and it has a bunch of zeros and they don't want to spend those. And then you have other people who like to spend money.
Right.
Who are going to go out and they're just going to spend money.
Right.
And they're not worried about it.
Yeah.
And that's the truth. You have savers and spenders, and that's the way it works. So
yeah.
he's that way. He probably, you know, he grew up modest and he just puts the money into it, but he knows he's going to make it back too.
Yeah,
you know, if you're going to make money,
he's making money. Like, he owns endless successful corporations. Yeah.
He's not afraid to lose money.
Right. But although he did lose something like 30% of his net worth when the Brexit was signed.
I was super confused about that. I don't know. It
that
was
sounds like a lot.
Yeah, I was trying to read it, but I don't know. It didn't make sense to me.
I think it's just because everybody in the UK got fucked when Brexit got signed.
What was that about?
It made them no longer part of the.
Eggs.
Yeah, it made them no longer part of the European Union. So all of the immediate, like, if you're part of the European Union, you have certain instant built-in trade opportunities with all the other countries in the European Union. And as soon as you're no longer in the European Union, you cannot trade with these countries until you create new trade laws with the, so it's like, we're not part of you anymore. So we can't freely trade.
We have to create
have to create new laws and do all this stuff and everything. And it really just like fucked tons of people.
It was like canceling Netflix and keeping Hulu.
Basically.
It fucks you up pretty bad.
Favorite thing of Richard, this is actually the last thing that I saw. It's the last thing in my notes. And I even had to confirm it because I was like, this sounds like it's bullshit. But he actually, like, I started reading and I saw the fact that in 2015, he wrote a bit, he keeps an active blog on his website, like his Virgin website. He like regularly like
in posts stuff. In his spare time.
But he posted one and he was talking about the fact that he met with Li Keqing, who's the richest man in China. And Li Keqing was talking with him on a balloon ride, mm-hmm. as happens, you know. So I'm on a balloon ride with the richest guy in China.
Well, you got to get above the smog.
That's right.
That's the best place to be.
I would wear a top hat all the time for sure.
And a curly mustache, like the...
I like to just say Keqing if he's the richest guy in China. So Li Keqing starts talking to him and saying that he's investing billions of dollars in meatless food and meatless alternatives. And Branson was like, why? Is that like something you're passionate about? And he said, no, it's not something I'm passionate about. He said, the current system is completely unsustainable and there's going to be a massive economic collapse if we keep using our resources and water trying to promote a meat-based lifestyle. And this guy's like famous for like seeing trends like a decade or two before they happen.
He's like the economic Nostradamus.
Basically,
80% of the water in the United States goes to agriculture.
Exactly.
And like 80% of agriculture goes to feeding fucking cows.
So he's like, so he's investing in all this and he just has a conversation with Branson about also how bad it is for the environment, how horrible it is for methane gas, all this stuff. So by the end of the balloon flight, Branson decided, I'm no longer going to eat meat. And he's also creating he's slowly creating a brand.
I'm not going to the island now.
He's slowly creating a brand of Virgin Airlines, which is actually vegan airplanes where none of the food, because he wants to quit using fossil fuels. He wants to quit. So, I mean, again, whether you buy his philosophy or not, when he fucking buys into something, he fucking buys into it. He's like, I'm all in. Like, right. Money, let's money do that and everything. Shit. Yeah. So I think, but respect for the guy.
The way to fix the population problem for sure is to legalize cannibalism. That would be the first way to go because you get meat.
So are you speaking as a member of the Church of Euthanasia?
Yes.
Yeah.
I wonder if I had so much trouble with cola and vodka, though. Like, why? I mean, you're going up against Coke, but you got shit like... Well, I guess all the other Cokes that we think about aren't really competitors. It's an illusion. Either Coke or Pepsi owns them probably, right?
Coke.
RC Cola, Shasta, Faygo, things like that.
Well, you have
like,
Coke, Pepsi. You have Coke, Pepsi, 7-Up. You have the Cadbury Group who owns Dr. Pepper.
What about like Dr. Thunder and fucking Mountain
those
Mist?
Are store made.
Those are all store made.
Those are store made. Like Walmart.
Yeah. RC is it's still its own
RC is 7-Up.
Yeah, it's a 7-Up.
Well, 7-Up distributes RC.
Right.
But those things like the government... subsidizes Coke in the United States. Coke was bankrupt fucking years ago.
They're invincible.
Oh yeah.
Well, also with the
GM. GM makes the shittiest fucking
corn syrup.
Cars.
I mean, they get corn for so fucking cheap they can make. Yeah, I'm not sure about the virgin cola. Maybe it was just so he could sell it on his airplanes or something. But apparently, it didn't do very well. Neither did the virgin vodka.
Right. Yeah.
You know. But no, I think he's a really interesting guy. He's one of the, like, well, you know, again, unlike
when Virgin Cola and your main favor is Redberry, like, I don't know. what are the chunks in this soda for?
I mean, unlike Elon Musk, unlike, you know, Bill Gates, this guy wasn't a technological genius of any sort. He's just super charismatic and he just makes decisions. He just thinks outside the box. Yeah. He's like, fuck it. Let's build an airline. How would you want an airline to work? Like, fuck how they're doing it. How should we do it?
It's weird how the education system has this just one fucking cookie cutter footprint thing where it's like,
well, the education system is fucked.
It's hard though. What do you do? You know, just like then you get all weird hippy dip. You're like, man, free your mind. Go out here and just play with these sticks, man. If you want to make something, go for it. Like you want to draw. There's a violin in the corner, Billy. Just go play. Like it's fucking, you can't let it be wild and free. Like, but there are these individuals like him that it's school.
Yeah. But
not
if you look at, if you look, well, I feel the same way, but if you look at like China and Japan and their education system, they're so much smarter and more advanced than we are,
right?
Because of our fucking bullshit that we have here,
right?
So it's crazy, and there's no, it's like anything else. Like you have to start over. We have to have a reboot. Right. You know, we have to restart everything, like because there is no going back. Like so we're too far.
You want to put a dirty bomb in the middle of a football stadium? Is what you're saying?
Yes,
and that's what I got from that. Yeah. So on that note, is that it? We're having the sponsors right after dirty bombs and football stadiums?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'd rather detonate a high-powered nuke over the Rockies.
What's that going to do? Melt all the ice?
No, it would create an electromagnetic pulse that would permanently destroy all electronics coast to coast through America.
Good thing I got a walkie-talkie and a foil ball on my Volkswagen bus, man. Ain't fuck with me. I'm going to go drive and
listen. A foil ball.
Yeah, that stops it, man.
A foil ball is like a knit ball for kittens, but for fucking conspiracy theorists.
That's right.
Like, can we sell those?
If you see
like,
them laying around,
bat them around. Foil balls. Like they
girl, this one's got around. A GPS in it.
I carry two balls in my pocket.
It's a surprise, though. I forgot to label
them.
Can we sell them in a sack?
Can we sell them in a sack and call them danger fields?
We'll call them conspiracy danger fields.
I was like, oh, there's an iPod in this one. Another one's GPS, cell phone, flashlights, all my electronics. And then all
can
of a sudden,
we,
something
we,
started smelling. I was like, oh, that was my hot wings.
Can we mold tinfoil truck nuts so that people can put them on the back of the trucks?
No, that's
just hanging off the back.
I still want the hats. I need to work on foil hats in all my spare time. How does Richard Branson do it? I'm not even fucking rich or anything. Yeah. I feel like I have
it's
no time
to put
on.
It's because he has help. He has people doing it for him.
Because he's rich.
I need some people. Where's my people?
He has two email associates that we can just sit there and tell. Where are our email associates? Yeah,
that's the problem. We don't have any email associates. We have to start.
Yeah, because they can be mailing out stuff.
We need two hot blondes with MacBooks.
Yeah, you could be working. And telling them what to do at the same time is the thing. Like, that's what we get.
But the immediate problem is you would just constantly be saying, did I get any emails? And they would just constantly be saying, no, sir.
By hot blondes, did you mean Terry McGee?
Yes. Just a wig.
That would be funny.
That would be funny.
Yeah. We got to do that.
All right. Is that it?
That's it.
All right. So thank you, El Yucateco Hot Sauce, for making this possible for us. And you can go to their website. You can buy stuff there. They have 7 different flavors of hot sauce, and they're available all over the place. If you can't find it, you can buy it at Target in the ethnic section or Walmart. But it's way cooler if you pretend like it's something that's hard to find at a Mexican market, and you travel to that part of town and get it. It makes you feel better about it for some reason. I don't know why. It's not as trendy that way.
Bean boozled beans.
Brad found the gross jelly beans that taste like toothpaste and shit. So use code SOFAKING to get a discount on El Yucateco products on their website. Thank you to printdirtcheap.com. If you need any print needs, you can also get a discount by using code SOFAKING. Thank you to Dark Side Graphics, Digital Creations, Salt 7 Float Center, and Dan Camarillo. You can go to armhunter.com to get instructional DVDs and gis and other apparel there. And I think I got everyone. Yeah.
I don't know. And you can still,
I checked out.
Yeah. El Yucateco is still having their, Go Native, thing. So if you go to their website there, you can enter and you can win all kinds of like really awesome El Yucateco swag on their Go Native thing. So just search El Yucateco.
That's
Go
a Go Native shirt you have on, right?
It is a Go Native shirt.
I got one too. It's pretty cool.
Me too.
Yeah, there's lots of, and they have like legitimate swag, like fucking badass tents and all kinds like to go travel and be out in the,
Give those hats away.
Be outside.
So busy. Someone even gave us a suggestion on how to do the hat thing for giveaway hats with prizes, but you have to have like your hat head size too. It might give you a little hat and you got a big head. I don't know how it's going to work out.
That's true.
Yeah. We have snapbacks.
That's true. Even for the big heads and the little heads.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
What if your head's so small and you're on the last snap?
I don't know.
You have to put your foil hat on first. It'll fit.
That's right.
There you go.
That's exactly
If we give away the hats, I'm putting foil inside.
This is going to be a line.
I'm going to foil line. That's happening. Ah, yes.
That's all right. Fantastic.
That inspired me to get more active with this hat contest. They're just going to show up wrapped in foil, though. Yeah, it's a mold at least. Yes. Yeah.
Just do the inside. Line the inside.
Maybe I can work foil hats into the equation. Maybe someone has to take a picture with some El Yucateco and a foil hat.
I like where we're going.
Yes. All right. I'm halfway there, I think. That's all I got.
I don't know. Is that it?
That's it.
Always right. The awkward
I'm out of here. Don't be retarded.